Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. The text of God's word for our Thanksgiving meditation this morning is recorded in Psalm 92, the first two verses, which read as follows. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our good, gracious, and merciful Redeemer, beloved hearers of his precious word. It is a sad fact of life and a reflection of the perverse times in which we are living that people by and large are more and more ever before interested in themselves, in what they want, in what they can get, and in how quickly and with the least effort possible they can satisfy their own selfish ends. The goals that they set for themselves and for the members of their family are for the most part economic goals, for they are determined to have always more of the meat which perisheth on their life's plate, and to be materially better off next year than they were this year. And coupled with that mammon-based appetite is, particularly in our prosperous country, in spite of the current economic downturn, a deplorable lack of gratitude for just about anything at all. The word thanks is common in just about every other country in the world, but it is fast fading from our American English vocabulary. Not just as a form of courtesy and etiquette, but even as an expression of genuine appreciation. Appreciation for a service rendered, appreciation for a favor done, for a gift received, for a kind word uttered, for a compliment offered. But why thank a person for something that you have coming? Why thank a person for something that belongs to you as part of the service that you yourself are paying for? That's the prevailing attitude. And it's indeed sad to see and to hear many professing Christians even falling into that attitude as if they didn't know better. When people are so ungrateful to other people, think of what that means in terms of their gratitude to God. God doesn't draw my paycheck. God doesn't pay on my mortgage. God doesn't make my investments. I do. I am a self-made man. My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth, they say with the wicked in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. Further on in this psalm, the Lord's holy writer calls such people brutish, no better than common animals, who at least lick the hand of their masters who feed them, and godless fools, he calls them, who don't have the common sense to recognize the source, the true source of their daily bread. That's not surprising, however, given the rank and gratitude with which they treat their fellow men here in this world. For the Apostle John tells us in chapter 4 of his first epistle, he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Now, on this National Day of Thanksgiving, a day on which precious little thanks is really being rendered to anybody, much less to God, it behooves us Christians to consider the admonition of the Lord's psalmist here in our text, as he points us in the very opposite direction from the ways of the world and shows us that it is good for us Christians to show forth on a daily basis our gratitude to God. First of all, our thanksgiving for all of his benefits, particularly his loving kindness to us poor, undeserving sinners. And secondly, our praises for his mercy and grace, his faithfulness to us in the covenant of his precious gospel. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, the psalmist tells us. What makes it a good thing, anyhow? What makes it more than just a perfunctory courtesy which we can exercise or not exercise as we see fit? Well, God says so in his holy law, for starters. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Thus reads the summary of our duty to God in the Holy Scriptures. And in full accord with all of those Holy Scriptures which require thanksgiving to him, we confess with Luther in his What Does This Mean of the Second Commandment, we should fear and love God that we may call upon his name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Not to render thanksgiving to him is a grievous sin. It is a sin of omission, particularly contrary to his second commandment. But a good work in the sight of God is much more than a mere act that appears to conform with the letter of the law. For the Bible says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so a mere recitation of thanks to God as an outward act is not the good thing of which the psalmist speaks here in our text. As if an unbeliever, an unconverted sinner, could perform it. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God, Paul writes to the Romans. And we read in Hebrews 11, verse 1, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Even the righteousnesses of Christians are as filthy rags in God's sight because of their imperfection. And because no works, even works performed by Christians, count before God to merit his favor. So, what makes it a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord is the fact that such Christian thanksgiving redounds to the glory of God and not to any credit of our own. It is his work alone that we have been redeemed from all iniquity by the vicarious work of our Redeemer. It is his work alone that we have been justified freely by his grace through that redemption. It is his work alone that we have been converted to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore are God's children and heirs of everlasting life. It is his work alone that we humbly recognize our unworthiness of his loving kindnesses. It is his work alone that we appreciate with sincere gratitude all that he has done for us, blessings so innumerable that we can't even begin to mention them. And it is his work alone that we are willing and able to express that gratitude by giving thanks unto the Lord. Thanks that is due him for all his loving kindnesses in bestowing upon us so richly from day to day matchless benefits, which we never could deserve for ourselves. We confess with Jacob of old, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truths which thou hast bestowed upon thy servant. Moreover, brethren, and let us make sure that we take this specially from our text, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, not only in our hearts, as some would so imagine, but openly, demonstrably, in clearly tangible ways. The psalmist exhorts us to show forth the Lord's loving kindness as a testimony to others, not a testimony of how grateful we are, but a testimony of how merciful and gracious he is in Christ Jesus. The prophet Isaiah writes, Isaiah 63, verse 7, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed upon them, according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. And the Lord Jesus himself tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And with the apostles, we must confess, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And that's one of the chief reasons why we are here in the house of God today. We're entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. A tiny minority among our countrymen today, sad to say. And especially on this Thanksgiving Day, which was set aside by national edict to give us this opportunity. Jesus asked the leper in the gospel lesson read before, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? The majority never bothered to return to give thanksgiving to the Savior for his loving kindness to them. Where are the 9 today? Where are the 90% of our countrymen on this Thanksgiving Day? But our thanksgiving should be even more demonstrable than by mere words. Our thanksgiving should be a veritable thanks living as we let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify not us, but glorify our Father in heaven for his loving kindness and for his tender mercies toward us and to all mankind under his gracious providence. The question is, do we show forth our gratitude to God by what we do day by day, living unto him which died for us and rose again? If not, then certainly our works belie the testimony of our lips, and we need quickly and sincerely to repent of our ingratitude, lest continuing with such contradictory ways we become those who call him Lord, Lord, but do not the things which he says in his holy word, and to do them not because we have to, but from believing and grateful hearts. Now, all of what has been said thus far pertains both to our gratitude for temporal and spiritual blessings, both of which flow from the Lord's loving kindness, and for all which it is our duty, Luther says, to thank and to praise, to serve and obey him with hearts and hands and voices. But there is special praise to be rendered particularly for the Lord's mercy and grace on behalf of our souls in all those things which he has done and still does for our salvation. The psalmist writes, "It is a good thing to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy faithfulness." Singing praises is not an optional mode of worship, as some people imagine it to be, as if only good singers, well-trained musicians who have trained voices are expected to sing unto the Lord, and the rest can simply sit and say nothing or sing nothing. No such artificial limitation is placed on singing to the Lord any more than there is such an artificial limitation placed on thanking him. Not only here in our text, but in many passages of Holy Scripture, the Lord exhorts his Christian people to sing unto him, regardless of the musical quality of their voice. This is why the Lord's church is a singing church, and why God's people love to gather together in his house to sing praises unto his name. Why is singing so special? Well, it's because, as so many passages of Holy Writ clearly show, singing is a form of communication that comes from deep within a person's heart and soul. A person can mumble when he speaks. He can even be understood to a certain extent when he mumbles. But singing praises is an emotional conversation. It's an emotional exercise. And it comes from the feeling of joy and gratitude and gladness and exaltation and pleasantness and wholeheartedness. As the passages show, it comes from our innermost being, as what the psalmist says is a joyful noise. And that is very particularly why the Lord refers to singing as the praise that his Christian people render unto him for his mercy and grace to us poor sinners. His amazing loving kindness in sending his only begotten Son down to this sinful world to be our substitute under the requirements of his law and under the penalty of our iniquities, which we have well deserved because of our transgressions, the wages of sin being death. It was God's loving kindness in Christ Jesus that caused him to be the propitiation, or the payment in full, which satisfied God's justice with respect to us, which caused him to earn righteousness for every soul of man to justify even the ungodly, to expunge the guilt of every sinner. We praise him by singing, and thus showing forth the covenant of the gospel of salvation, the word of reconciliation, from our hearts. That God, for Christ's sake, no longer imputes the sins of the world against it, including your sins and mine. That God, for Christ's sake, has declared the whole world righteous in his sight. And we sing praises to him for his faithfulness to that covenant by bringing us to saving faith in its promises, so that by confidence in God's justification of the whole world, we are his children. We are his heirs of everlasting life in heaven. By confidence in this wonderful word of reconciliation, the establishment of his kindness and faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a home of joy and peace and gladness in heaven to look forward to as our inheritance of grace as his children. God, for Christ's sake, has rescued us from our enemies here in this world, from all them that hate us, the Bible says, including our spiritual enemies, the devil, the world, and our flesh. You and I have a lot to sing about regarding his mercy. We have a lot to sing about concerning his grace, his wonderful gift of all these things to us, his loving kindness, and his faithfulness. By God's grace, we Lutheran Christians in particular have a wonderful heritage of hymns to sing. Hymns that are based on passages of Holy Writ. Hymns which express biblical truths and are not just sentimentality hymns or songs with feelings as their chief message. It is indeed a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord, to show forth his loving kindness and his faithfulness to poor sinners, particularly in his plan of salvation. You remember this hymn, I'm sure, and you can whisper it along with me if you choose. He saw me ruined in the fall. He loved me, notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. When I was Satan's easy prey, and deep in debt and bondage lay, he paid his life for my discharge. His loving kindness, oh, how large. Awake, my soul, from sin's malaise, and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from thee. His loving kindness, oh, how free. Oh, my dear fellow sinners, fellow redeemed according to God's loving kindness, fellow hearers of our Savior's word through his psalmist, the singer of the Old Testament, as he's often called, on this Thanksgiving Day, as we ponder all the blessings that we have received at the Lord's gracious hand, his loving kindness, which is new to us every morning, his faithfulness to his promises in the precious gospel, which by his grace we still have in its truth and purity. Let us sing with David, examining our own heart and ask, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What? Psalm 116, verse 12. And then let us one and all resolve, with the help of his Holy Spirit, henceforth to render him due thanksgiving and praise in accordance with his will. Not because we have to, not because we're expected to, but because we eagerly and gratefully want to do that. And not just on Thanksgiving Day, not just on Sundays when we gather together in God's house for worship, but every day of our lives, in our homes, along our way, as we work, and as we play. For it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Hallelujah! Let praises ring. Unto our triune God we sing. Blessed be his name forever. With angel hosts let us adore and sing his praises more and more for all his grace and favor. Singing, ringing, holy, holy, God is holy. Spread the story of our God, the Lord of glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, gratefully by faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior, unto life everlasting. Amen.